Greetings in the name of Jesus this morning. It's a real privilege to be here, to be able to worship the Lord together as a body of believers. That last song we sang, I had asked Josh if we could sing that this morning. If you just stop and think about what those words were saying. We all face storms in life, don't we? Jesus, Savior, pilot me over life's tempestuous sea. Unknown waves before me roll, hiding rocks and treacherous shoal. Chart and compass came from thee, Jesus, Savior, pilot me. As a mother stills her child, thou canst hush the ocean wild. Boisterous waves, obey thy will. When thou sayest to them, be still. Wondrous sovereign of the sea, Jesus, Savior, pilot me. When at last I near the shore and the fearful breakers roar, twixt me and the peaceful rest, then while leaning on thy breast, may I hear thee say to me, fear not, I will pilot thee. That goes with the message that I want to share this morning. I might just hang this up here. I don't know if you all can see that clearly. It's a painting of the storm on the Sea of Galilee. It was created by the Dutch Golden Age painter commonly known as Rembrandt. He painted this masterpiece in 1633. Unfortunately, the original painting was stolen in 1990 from the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum in Boston, Massachusetts, and remains missing to this day. It's a picture that he painted to give an idea what that scene could have looked like as the disciples and Jesus were out on the sea and this storm came up. If you look really close in the picture, you can't see it from back there, I'm sure, but there's a picture of Jesus in the back end of the boat. And so those are some things I want to talk about this morning. But first of all, I want to just thank Jeremy for the opening. I feel like it was a good prelude to the message. If we don't have a walk with God, if we don't have a relationship with Jesus, we won't be able to face those storms in life and come out on the other side a better person. Troubled waters. If you could turn with me to Mark chapter 4. Actually, maybe before that, let me just give a little introduction to the message. So as I was preparing in the last 2 weeks, I was meditating, praying, seeking the Lord. And I felt like he was giving me a message on a certain topic. And I started writing down some notes, looking up different scriptures. And I think I started about 3 or 4 different pages before I finally said, okay, this is not coming together. And it just felt like I wasn't supposed to preach about that. And then towards the end of this past week, one evening I was just reading, just opened my Bible and just randomly opened it, and it opened to John 14. And it was Wednesday evening, just before the Special Brothers meeting. And I opened to John 14 and started reading, and it said, "Let not your heart be troubled. And at that moment, I felt like God was saying, this is what you need to talk about. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. This is in John 14. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And as I read down through that chapter that evening, it was just impressed upon my heart that we don't need to be troubled. We can trust in God. Okay, Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 35. And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now there's two other passages that talk about this event that took place. The next one is in Luke chapter 8. I'm just going to read all three accounts. I think they all remembered a few different points about the storm. So I wanted to read all three accounts. Luke chapter 8, verse 22. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him. The next one is in Matthew chapter 8. Verse 18. Matthew 8, verse 18. Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus saith unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, Follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Now all three of those accounts seem very similar, and it was the same, you can tell it was the same storm, the same people in the boat. But I like how Matthew described the storm. This was not some small storm that they were facing. The way Matthew remembered this storm was like a seismos in Greek. The Greek word is seismos, or a tempest is the English word, which means a commotion or shaking, similar to an earthquake if you're on land. He doesn't use just any word to describe the storm. The storm was very real to him. And it was interesting that the word he used has the exact same meaning as in Matthew 27, where it gives the account of the crucifixion, where it talks about the earth quaking and the rocks being rent. He used that same word, seismos. In Matthew 27, verse 54, "Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, 'Truly, this was the Son of God.'" That word earthquake is the same, has the same Greek word as the word tempest. So this was a real storm. There was shaking and rocking back and forth. Maybe you're here this morning and feel like your life is like that little boat in the storm. You're being tossed around by the waves, ready to capsize at any moment. Where is Jesus? Why would he leave me to suffer like this? These are questions that you might be asking this morning. Why would he take me through a storm like this? Why would he allow these things to happen to me? And maybe you've even gotten frustrated at God, like the disciples did when they shouted, "Don't you even care about us at all? Carest thou not that we perish?" There was some desperation there. The trials and struggles that we face have a way of making us desperate, desperate for relief. We want Jesus to take it all away. We want Jesus to calm our storm. But sometimes, like those disciples in that wave-battered boat, we miss the comfort that is right there with us. Jesus is in the boat, and we forget that he's there. We're focusing on the storm, and we forget that Jesus is right there behind us, and all we need to do is call out to him. So as we think about this event that took place, this storm, I'd like to look at it with a little bit of a different viewpoint. First of all, whose idea was it to take the boat? Can someone tell me? It was Jesus' idea to take the boat, right? "Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side." So it was Jesus' idea, and all three scriptures would indicate that. But we could ask, why take the boat instead of walking? It wasn't that far where they were going to. And I'm pretty sure Jesus knew the weather forecast for the day. I'm confident he knew this storm was coming. But he wasn't focused on getting around the storm or going ahead of the storm. He wanted to take them through the storm. He had a purpose and a plan for his disciples in the storm. I believe he wanted to test their faith. Would they trust in him, or would they become fearful? I don't know what storm you're in this morning, but I do know there's plenty of storms around us, plenty of storms that some of us are going through. Could it be that Jesus is intentionally taking you through the storm to see what your response will be. Will you become fearful? Or will you wake him up? Now, we know Jesus doesn't sleep. But in this event, Jesus was asleep in the boat, and it was up to the disciples to wake him up and call upon him. Or are you facing the storm without Jesus in the boat? Wouldn't that be a terrible place to be in? Being in the boat that's being torn apart by a storm and Jesus not being there. If God is truly in control of every aspect of our lives, we can trust that He, whatever storm we go through, He put us there and He will be right there by our side to help us through the storm. We can trust Him for that. The second point that I'd like to look at is that Jesus never left them. Mark 4:38 says, "And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish?" As those disciples were fighting the waves, bailing water out of the boat, vomiting, and wondering when the boat would completely sink, he was always there. He was asleep, but like I said earlier, God doesn't slumber nor sleep. Do we really think that Jesus didn't know what was happening around him as he dozed in the back of that boat? I think he was fully aware what was going on. He knows everything, and he is always there. We may feel like he is absent, or that he is sleeping, but he is not. Psalm 121 says, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore." Now, the message this morning is not a hellfire and brimstone message. It's not a message about repenting or any of those things, but rather I wanted it to be a message of encouragement, to just come along and give some encouragement. It seems like there's too many people that are just facing a lot of trials and maybe finding some discouragement in their lives. And I just felt from the Lord that I should just be an encouragement to the flock. So when we feel like Jesus is absent or sleeping, let's always remember, he never sleeps and he's always there, waiting till we call upon him. Hebrews 13:5 says, "For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." So as we look at this account, the third point I'd like to look at is, why are you afraid? That was Jesus' question to the disciples. It was an honest question that he asked them. Why are you afraid? Kind of like, I was right here with you. Why are you afraid? Where's your faith? As the disciples were being dashed about on the waves and wondering when their life would end, they finally realized that they need Jesus to help them. And they wake him up, and he's just like, why are you afraid? Where's your faith? Is there a chance that he's asking us the same question this morning? Why are you afraid? Why are you filled with fear? You know, life is a complicated thing, isn't it, sometimes, this thing called life. And with it come fears. We can try to deny it, but maybe I should just get a raise of hands. Who all in here has ever faced fear? So it's pretty common. Life comes with fears. Fears of tomorrow, fears of failure, fears of economies, fears of wars, fears of losing our children, fears of persecution. Not so long ago, it was the fear of COVID-19 and the fear of the vaccine. You know, things got out of hand. A lot of people were just afraid. But when we allow fear to control us and we give in to anxiety, allowing it to dominate us and define our lives, we really are excluding God. And we subject ourselves to a position of fear. And this is what we are warned about in scriptures over and over. He urges us to not be afraid, to not give in to the position of fear. You know, we face fears, but if we allow ourselves to be overcome by those fears and we become anxious and we give in to that position of being fearful, that is what he is warning us about and telling us not to do. In 1 Timothy 1, verse 7, it says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." As I was preparing for the message, I just thought it'd be nice to just have a list of Bible verses that talk about God and being encouraged in Him. So I just wrote a bunch of them down. You don't have to turn to all of these. The first one is in John 14, verse 27. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And I won't be spending a lot of time on these. There's about 15 of them. The next one's in Isaiah 41, verse 10. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Psalm 46, 1. "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." Now, some of these verses, actually a lot of these verses, are very familiar verses, and probably most of us know a lot of them by heart. What I'd like to do is say a reference, and if somebody knows a verse, raise your hand and you can quote it. Shall we do that? Philippians 4:13. Is there somebody that can quote that verse? Philippians 4:13. Do you know it, Eli? "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." How about Joshua 1:9? I'll start it. Oh, go ahead, Stephen. No, not quite. "Have not I commanded thee?" Do you know the rest of it? "Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." Psalm 34:17. "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles." Romans 8:28. Surely there's someone that knows that one. Timothy? That's right. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Isaiah 40, verse 31, talks about eagles. Go ahead. Yes, amen. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Psalm 55, verse 22. Might not be quite as familiar. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Matthew 11, 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jeremiah 29, 11. It's a pretty common one. Somebody else want to try? Go ahead. Amen. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. Grace is sufficient. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Psalm 23, verse 4. I'll probably quote the whole chapter. Yes. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Romans 15, verse 13. The God of hope. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Psalm 27, verse 1. Is there anyone that knows that one? Maybe we need to study our Bibles more. I know I wouldn't have gotten all of these either. Psalm 27, 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Here's the last one. 1 Peter 5, 7. Anybody? It says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I was just blessed as I was studying for this and looking up these verses. There's lots and lots, and this is just a tiny list. There's lots of encouraging scriptures that we can read, and especially as we're going through trials and struggles, facing storms in life, we can turn to the scriptures and be encouraged. As you're facing storms in life, call out to Jesus. That's the ultimate thing that we need to do. But We also need to call out to our brothers and sisters. We're here for each other, right? We desire to be real brothers and sisters. So let's call out to each other. If we're struggling, if we're facing trials, let's be open with each other and go through it together. In closing, I'd like to read Psalm 46 yet. I knew this wasn't going to be a long message, but I felt like I'd just share what the Lord laid on my heart, and hopefully it can be an encouragement to you. Psalm 46, if you want to turn there. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and the mountains, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Is Jesus with you in the boat? And is he asking the question today, why are you afraid? As we face troubled waters in life, let's remember that Jesus is right there with us. He is in the storm with us. He has a purpose for us as we go through the storm. Let's put our trust in him today and not allow fear to rule in our hearts. There was a song that I thought about as I was studying. The title is, He Will Calm the Troubled Waters of Your Soul. I'll just read it here. If your heart is heavy with some grief or trouble, you do not have to bear it all alone. For I have a friend who knows about your struggles. He'll be standing there when other friends have gone. He will calm the troubled waters of your soul, take your broken heart and make you whole. And if the storms of your life grow dark and cold, he will calm the troubled waters of your soul. Deep in every heart there is a longing to find happiness and oh, such peace of mind. If your heart is weary from your searching, come home to Jesus, and I'm sure, my friend, you'll find he will calm the troubled waters of your soul. Take your broken heart and make you whole. And if the storms of your life grow dark and cold, he will calm the troubled waters of your soul. So may that be an encouragement to you all. I don't know what you're facing today, what you've been going through, but let's turn to Jesus. Let's trust in him. If there's storms that we're facing, if we're battered and beat up by the storms of life, let's put our trust in Jesus. He'll be there for us. God bless you.